From the Land DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of December 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the WTO has accepted Russia as a member. It means the United States must repeal a Cold War law. A new report has China potentially recording a trade deficit in 2012. That's the first time it will happen in the past couple of decades. And the CME Group says now that the tax laws have changed, it will remain in the state of Illinois. Dave Dickey will have the details later in the program. Speaking of taxes, we'll hear the short version of Gary Hoff's presentation from last week's Illinois Farm Economic Summits. It's all about the estate tax. And don't forget, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast as we close out our program. We'll take that up with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago as we finish up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat in the March futures at $5.99¾, up 16 cents. July at $6.36, up 16. Hard red July from Kansas City at $6.74½, up 19¼ from the corn pit back in Chicago. An 18 cent gain in the lead option March contract at $6.00. The May futures at $6.09¾, up 18. July corn a 17 and three quarters higher at $6.16¼. September at $5.81, 11 and three quarters of a cent higher. And December futures for the day at $5.59, up 11. January soybeans 7 cents higher, $11.37. The March at 11.46¾, up 7¼. And the May soybeans for the day at $11.57¼, up 7 cents. July futures 11.67¼, 7½ higher. And November at $11.58¼ for next year, up 7¾ of a cent. Bean meal at $2.93, up 2.70. Bean oil 50 cents lower at $49.05. The Mercantile Exchange finished the February live cattle at $121.50. That's $3 higher. March futures at $147.72½. And the feeders up $2.25. This is the Closing Market Report. Lean hogs for the day at $84.35 were $1.20 higher. April futures at $87.20, up $1.30 on the afternoon. The outside markets finished like this. The January crude oil at $93.85 a barrel, 32 cents higher. Ethanol at $2.11¼, 3 and 7 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas, $0.01¼ lower at $3.10¼. And the heating oil or diesel fuel for the day, $0.015 lower at $2.78½. Gold futures at $1,594.40 on their settlement, down $1.20. The Dow now at 11,815, just about 51 points lower. And the dollar at 80.25 is down 0.06 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 295.82. up 0.82 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 40% chance of rain. It'll be cloudy with a high near 51 degrees. A west-northwest wind at 6 to 10 miles an hour tonight. A rain likely, cloudy. A low of 36. Light winds becoming north-northeast at 10 to 13. The winds could gust all the way to 16. A chance of precipitation in the area set at 70% for this evening. Tomorrow, rain, a high of 45, east winds at 7 to 13. They'll gust to 16, the chance of precipitation tomorrow at 80%. Tomorrow night, rain likely. And cloudy, a low of 38, and east wind at 5 to 8, the chance of precipitation 60% on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday, the chance of rain continues through the noon hour at 40%, mostly cloudy, a high of 44 degrees, with a west wind between 9 and 13, gusting to 16 miles an hour. And then on Thursday, finally, mostly sunny skies with a high near 42, Thursday night cloudy and a low of 30. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 37, Friday night cloudy and a low of 25. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line to take up the agricultural futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I was on the road all week last week with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. The agribusiness professionals, farmers, and bankers all seem to be pretty happy at this point and fairly content as we made our way from Champaign to DeKalb and Galesburg, Mount Vernon, and Bloomington for the week. What did I miss in the marketplace?
Well, I'd say that not a whole lot. We started the week higher, finished the week lower there, and when you look at the big picture, we're still in a old sideways trading range. Beans going home Friday show the most optimism as far as the technical action. We were able to close above the downtrend line, and so that sparked some buying interest. When you look at the technical picture here, over the last few weeks in general, we're getting some trend divergences. The futures market was able to make some lower lows, but the momentum indicators were able to make some higher lows. They didn't make any lower lows, which suggest that we found a near-term bottom. I think the beans took charge there Friday late, and the corn and wheat followed. Corn was able to close or move above some downtrend lines. Wheat's not been able to do it just yet. But technically, we sort of recorded a low here last week, and fundamentally we're starting to see a little bit more concern of drier weather in the southern forecast to sort of support a higher market here over the near term.
And so we had a drier forecast, which actually had an impact, I think, in the corn market as much as anything. Was that coupled with a good export inspection figures from this morning?
Yeah. Shipped out 44 million bushel. The trade was looking for 30 to 35. So, you know, if we can crank out these higher shipments here, that's going to be supportive that we are shipping out what we're selling. We're not, you know, selling a record amount by all means, but it does mean that they are taking what we sold. Wheat shipments were 16 million bushel. They were looking for 15 to 19, and beans were right around 31 and looking for 32 to 37. So the wheat and the bean number were just a little less than expected there.
How did the trade accept the news that China had been stockpiling corn in recent months and plan to continue to do so?
Well, the trade numbers show a record yield, record production in China, and they're going to use all that they produce. You know, they got tremendous demand for it. It means they're saving it. What little they've bought on the world market, you know, they're trying to, you know, pump up the inventories. The key is where we go down the road here. You know, if the usage stays strong, are they going to need to stockpile some more? So that's going to be played out as we move more down the road here and get into next spring, see how feed usage in their country goes here this winter. You know, if they have a cold winter, feed usage could be a little higher, so that might suggest they might be more interested in reentering the world feed wheat market to gather some inventory. If they have a mild winter, maybe they might be where they want to be here for the short term.
How much of today's rally do you suppose might have been position squaring as we head towards the end of the year as opposed to other fundamental reasons to go higher?
I think it's very little. We believe that, well, we had alarms go off here for the last Friday and today on buy signals being tripped. The green line crossed the red line and met buy. And if you're a short-term trader, you got to follow the program. Funds bought 12,000 corn, 5,000 beans, and 2,000 wheat. So I think that was the majority of it. The market was oversold and due, and that sort of fell intact. And plus, too, we've got real frigid, snowy weather forecast for the western belt there. And I think the trade sort of went with that on ideas that, you know, if we stay in a wet, cold pattern, the feed usage could go up a little bit. So I think there's a combination of everything kind of falling in place. You know, as far as year-end positioning, there could be a little bit of that. We'll probably see a little bit more here as we get a little closer to year end.
Did the end of the year, this last couple of weeks, the export number give you a hope that the corn export figure might be better as we make our way into the 2012 calendar year?
Well, it's a start. We've got clear into next summer, clear into September 1st to see where we are. I think it's going to be more important here after the first of the year. That's the concern that the competitive feed wheat has really dinged some of this world corn demand. I mean, we've got a strong feed use number here in the U.S. We've got a strong ethanol use, but that export number, it's not quite up to what the bull wants to see.
And your thoughts on acreage for next year and, of course, the January 12 final crop production report from USDA?
Well, as far as the crop production report in January, there's ideas that corn production number could be a little lower. Last report here, they pretty well started fine-tuning the demand a little bit. We'll continue to see that demand side be adjusted up and down as we go clear into next year. But the final yield numbers, well, it's not going to be the final yield numbers, but we'll probably see maybe a little smaller corn production number. Beans, I don't know. We'll have to see what they come up with. I don't know if they got enough data to change yet. But going into next year, with the prevent plant and where we are with prices, I can't help to imagine that we're going to see more corn and bean acres both. When you talk to the seed reps, you kind of hear the extremes, but corn seed sales, early bookings have been very strong. A lot of fertilized nitrogen went on here this last fall. And that's kind of the fear that the market has, is that we have more acres, trend line yields, and if demand doesn't pick up, we could be based for some fairly larger carryout estimates for the 2012 crop.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Hey, appreciate it. Wish you a good holiday and Happy New Year. I'm getting the short end of the stick here. No market Monday and no market the day after New Year's, so
yeah.
Wish you a good one there.
Well, yeah, we won't talk to you for, until well into January, I suppose.
Yeah,
so by then, we'll expect you to have all kinds of good information for us.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thanks so much, Kurt.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye now. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like off our website at willag.org. If you have a smartphone, try emma.willag.org. The M, of course, from mobile. If you have a regular phone, you can always dial this number, 217-333. Oh, I forgot it. 3434. Almost forgot it. 217-333-3434. It's all part of the service that comes to you from willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He's your Director of Agricultural Programming from WILL and Illinois Public Media. Has today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Russia, this past Friday, finally became a member of the World Trade Organization. Along with membership comes a requirement by other WTO members to drop most barriers to trade with Russia. For that to happen, the United States first must grant Russia permanent normal trade relations, something that the U.S. has accorded to virtually every other country in the world, with the exception of Cuba and North Korea. That would require Congress to repeal the Cold War Jackson-Vanik law that for decades has tied U.S. trade relations with state-controlled economies to the rights of religious minorities to immigrate freely. Analysts in Hong Kong say that China could record a rare trade deficit next year. The first quarter is shaping up to be especially tough because of slow European and U.S. demand, coupled with the normal spike in imports that comes with the celebration of the Chinese New Year, which this year starts in late January. China could import $28.8 billion more than it exports during the first 3 months of 2012, dwarfing the $1 billion deficit posted over the same period this year. That quarterly deficit was a first since 2004, and China has not recorded a full-year shortfall in two decades. CME Group announced late Friday that it will remain in Illinois after the state's governor signed into law a series of tax breaks. The bill provides tax relief to CME, Options Exchange CBOE Holdings Incorporated, and retailer Sears Holdings Corporation. The Illinois government will tax the exchanges on only 27.54% of all electronic trades, which is the dominant method of buying and selling derivatives contracts. Currently, the exchanges pay taxes on all electronic transactions. Tax breaks will start for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1st. CBOE and Sears indicated that they would too stay in Illinois. In statements released after the bill won final legislative support on Tuesday, and again after the bill was signed on Friday. European finance ministers have to figure out today how they will split up $261 billion in extra loans they have promised the International Monetary Fund in an effort to boost the Eurozone's crisis firewall. Reaching $261 billion may be difficult after the UK, the largest economy among the 10 EU states that don't use the euro, said it won't contribute any additional funds to the IMF. Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria have also ruled out sending any additional money to the Washington-based fund. In their afternoon conference call, the ministers will also compare notes on a first draft for a new treaty meant to tighten fiscal discipline within the Eurozone, which was circulated this past Friday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming from Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. In a moment, we'll review Gary Hoff's presentation from the Illinois Farm Economic Summits that took place last week. Tax specialist from the U of I, Gary Hoff, is with us to take up estate planning. Gary, thanks so much for taking the time. When you went through the process, estate planning is something that many producers simply don't do much of, but you told them they really need to think this through and take some time, talk with an attorney, talk with their siblings, talk with their parents, their sons and daughters.
Yeah, exactly, Todd. And then more than that, even if they have done estate planning, they need to rethink and reinspect what they have done, because the changes that were made in December 17th of 2010 might well affect the estate plan that they have. For those that haven't done estate planning, the rapid run-up we've had in farm land prices means that they may have an estate tax issue that they're not aware of.
What were the changes on December 17th of 2010?
On December 17th, we put in a new $5 million exemption amount. We also added portability.
Those are on both on the federal level. The $5 million exemption amount is fairly straightforward. If the estate is worth less than $5 million, then it is not taxed at death.
Right. If the estate's less than $5 million, there's no federal tax. However, there can be Illinois estate tax on it. That exemption amount was $2 million. And over the next 2 years, it's being ratcheted up to $4 million.
Then take me through the portability side of this.
The portability is really interesting because that's a concept we've never had before. What portability says is any unused federal exemption that the first to die has, that unused amount can pass through to the surviving spouse of that individual. So let's assume that the first spouse to die has a $5 million exemption, which is the case for a death in 2011-2012, and they die with a $4 million estate. There's $1 million of unused exemption amount. The executor of the estate can elect to pass that million through to the surviving spouse. Therefore, that surviving spouse has their $5 million exemption, plus the unused $1 million from the death of their spouse. They now have a $6 million exemption amount.
This is an important issue that many producers now that we have, and landowners, that now that we have much higher land prices, will really need to consider.
Exactly. There's also issues in portability. If there has been remarriages, they need to understand what that does to them. But also then keeping in mind, looking back, that we solved the federal problem for many people, but not the Illinois problem, because I can still have an Illinois estate tax.
There's one other quick question that's on basis. It's changed.
I think the one thing that we got back with this $5 million exemption is a step up in basis. So the basis of those assets that are in the estate are stepped up to the fair market value at the date of death.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Gary Hoff from the University of Illinois, a tax specialist. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This has been a Farm Doc Daily podcast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Michael Yeoman is with us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
As we head into the holiday season, have you been taking in much corn today?
Yeah, we've had a lot of deliveries coming in today, as well as been buying a lot with the rally in the markets.
Okay, so the deliveries that are coming in, are those January deliveries moved forward?
Some of them are January, and some of them are just end of the year. Some guys want to get some corn in and collect some checks.
And you said you've got new sales coming in today as well. Are they been heavy or pretty moderate?
We've been heavier than lately. Just with the rally in the market, we're encouraging guys to sell in the rallies. We're up 18 a day in corn and 7 on beans.
Are they making sales in new crop corn for next year as well?
I think they're catching up mostly on old crop sales.
All right. And how about for soybeans?
Soybeans, we've been having some sales. Guys are more focused on checking new crop prices there. I mean, I think a lot of guys are hesitant to sell at $11, and I guess we're around $11.23 today in Champaign. So.
And basis has been holding up well?
Basis has been steady.
Your expectation that it will do what after the first of the year and the loss of the credit for ethanol?
Usually we see a lot of grain move during the month of January. We might see it back off a bit then. But I think, you know, once we get past the January deliveries and processors start to realize that they're going to need some more corn, I think some of them have been taking January deliveries early. I think we might see a rise in basis then.
And your bids for the day, Michael?
We are at 601 on corn and 1123 on beans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Michael Yeoman is with the Andersons. He's right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes for some of the radio stations, and we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. For the rest of you, have a great afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's Oatmeal Muffin Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1732, the first issue of Poor Richard's Almanac was published by Benjamin Franklin. Almanacs were very popular books in colonial America, containing practical household hints, puzzles, and, of course, seasonal weather forecasts. Franklin published his almanac for 25 years, and it sold as many as 10,000 copies a year. By the way, Napoleon Bonaparte considered the almanac significant enough to translate it into Italian along with the Pennsylvania state constitution. In 1863, Frederick Walton of London patented linoleum. Previously, oilcloth had been used to cover floors. In 1871, Samuel Clemens received a patent for an improvement in adjustable and detachable garment straps suitable for vests, pantaloons, and other garments. Today we call that invention suspenders. Clemens was also something of an author, perhaps best known for Mark Twain. In 1871, Albert Jones patented corrugated paper, which could be used to make boxes, which actually came into vogue in about 1890. And in 2004, Herbert Brown died. In graduate research during World War II, he discovered a new method to produce hydrogen gas, which was used in weather balloons and later fuel cells. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Time to check the weather forecast. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
Doing great.
So as we look forward to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Christmas, what can you tell us about the forecast?
Well, it's very good forecast here, as long as you're unless you're a big lover of big snowstorms or heavy precipitation, but certainly none of that here upcoming here for the upcoming holiday weekend. Dry across Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest during the upcoming weekend. That is especially true on Saturday and on into Sunday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And temperatures for this time of year is slightly warmer than normal, with high temperatures primarily in the upper 30s here to near 40, and minimum temperatures in the mid to upper 20s. Again, a little bit warmer than normal for this time of year. And that just maintains this warm bias pattern that the Midwest and much of the eastern U.S. has been in over the past month's time frame.
Let's turn our attention to South America, because in Chicago, futures moved higher, up 18 cents in the corn pit. And in the bean pit, they were up 7 cents for the afternoon on forecasts that would be fairly dry in the corn-growing regions, actually, of Argentina and parts of Brazil.
Yeah, that's really the new piece of information here going into this week, and it's more ridging of high pressure, more heat, more dryness, and the lack of any kind of widespread precipitation, primarily across Argentina and southern Brazil, but Paraguay and Uruguay is part of that as well. And with dryness already in place across southern Brazil and with it evolving now in Argentina, that is certainly a concern here, especially with the drier conditions and more ridging. That's just going to allow for temperatures to warm up even more had soil moisture reserves been generally adequate. So with the dryness, that's helping to kind of escalate the heat. And we see temperatures here over the next few days, highs in the mid-90s to lower 100s across those corn-growing areas. And it looks like a repeat of similar temperatures for about 3 or 4 days next week.
Is this an impact of, for instance, La Nina?
La Nina is having some impact here. Interestingly, we go back a year ago and you had some dryness back in November, December across Argentina, and rains picked up in January, helping to boost yields for crops. And that was actually a much stronger La Nina compared to this year. So La Nina is just one of several factors that help shape weather patterns. So with a weaker La Nina, it's likely still causing this dry bias here, but likely other reasons causing some of this more frequent heat.
All right. Can you take a little look further out? Will the dry bias stay with us more than 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, our research does show that as we move into January, there are indications that this dryness could continue here, primarily across Argentina. Southern Brazil could see an improvement in rain, but Argentina, as we think, is the area to watch as we move into January.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.